Brother Daryl has the Haftarah.
Shabbat Shalom. So the Haftarah is for this week is Isaiah 41-26, and Paul will read it. Thank you, Paul.
Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Yerushalayim and cry out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice says, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Yerushalayim. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who's directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above in the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like the stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and the strength of his power, not one is missing.
Thank you, Paul. So after 3 weeks of very dark Haftarah portions concerning judgment, we have a very promising Haftarah prophecy in Isaiah now. This, however, is a prophecy of the end time, the Messianic age, when all things are made right. If you could back up on the screen, please, to in that same chapter into verse 4, please. So before I expound on that, I want just it's really good to read. Like I said, after you know, around Tish B'Av, around reading all of the dark things, the very depressing things concerning judgment against Israel, concerning destruction in the temple, we now have the words comfort, comfort, my people, and we have proclaim, proclaim. Things, in a nutshell, things are being made right. How do I know that this is a metaphor for the Messianic age? Because he says her warfare is done, finished. Well, we know that after the times of Isaiah, warfare was not really done. So this is a prophecy of the end time. He uses beautiful words in this, this for the Messianic age. He uses the word ascend, announce, behold, triumph, reward, recompense, gathering, as in gathering of lambs, pastures, carrying lambs. And then the prophet gets into the measurement of God. Who can measure God? Well, I mean, the answer is pretty clear. But there's an amazing harmony with this and the Brit Hadashah portion of this week as well, which is Mark 12, 28 to 34. Now, we just read it, and Paul, I'd asked you to read it, but we have just read 28. If we could just put 12, 28 to 34 back on the screen. So we just read that, but there's something very important that precedes the encounter between, that precedes this encounter with Yeshua HaMashiach. And it goes back to verse, Mark 12, 13, there's two other encounters that are occurring. Now, I want you to remember that picture that from those other verses. It talks about the mountains being brought down and the valleys being raised up. Now, why did he not say, I'm going to bring everything up to a certain level? Why did he not say, I'm going to bring everything down and flatten it to a certain level? No, it's very specific. He's going to bring the mountains down and he's going to bring the valleys up. So I found something that I believe is in very much in harmony. So here's what occurs prior to that. You have a Pharisee and the Herodian that come to Yeshua, and they're trying to trap him in discussion. Many you're familiar with it, is they hold up a coin of Caesar, and they ask him, is it right to pay Caesar his taxes, right? So what he's saying, here's the deal. He's trying to drag heaven down to the current political status of the time. Now remember, he is talking about, prior to that, he's talking about taking the kingdom by force. We know that when the kingdom is finally taken by force, we enter into the Messianic age. So he is talking about the Messianic age, and they are totally missing the point. So they want to trick him after that whole discourse. They want to trick him and say, is it right to pay Caesar taxes or not? So they're trying to bring the idea of heaven and the Messianic age down to the current political status, down to Caesar's coin and paying taxes. We would all like an answer of when we're going to be able to stop paying taxes. And then the Sadducees come, and they're a little more cruel because they don't actually believe in a resurrection, but they're gonna mock him, mock Yeshua, and ask him about a resurrection issue, knowing that they don't believe in it. And they go through this whole discourse about a widow, about a woman being widowed, and do you marry the brother, and that brother dies, and this brother dies, and eventually who in the resurrection, in the end time, is the husband. So now what the Sadducees are trying to do is they're trying to bring the dilemmas of the time, and riddles of the time, up into heaven. So then he comes to the scribe. So what's going to happen is he's going to take that, with the Pharisees coming up saying, hey, I'm going to level that. That's not going to make it up to heaven with the Pharisees. The idea of paying taxes to Caesar in the Messianic age or to anyone is done with. So we're going to take the top of that mountain and we're going to cut it and shove it off and make it level. And the idea of bringing heaven down into bringing these other things down into heaven, he's going to fill that in. Or I may have it backwards. You can actually metaphor it any way you want. But what he's saying, so the reason he's not going to bring these things up, some of these arguments, he is going to eliminate these minor, Rabbi talked about a while ago, some of these things that people will spend their life on, spending their life in Revelation, arguing Revelation, arguing Rabbi Shaul or Paul, just arguing this and just, you know, the validity of Paul, the validity of Peter, and they'll just argue and argue and argue. And these arguments are either mountains or valleys. He's going to fill one end and he's going to scrape the other one flat. So, and then what's in the middle is the scribe. The scribe comes and says, if we could put it on the verse, on the Mark 12, 28. So the scribe comes and he has a very pure encounter with Mashiach compared to these two riddlers and tricksters that come, some from the Pharisees, some from the Sadducees. He has a very pure exchange. So what does he do? He says in this question, which is the first commandment of all, what does Yeshua say to him? He says to him, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. He quotes the Torah, the same Torah that a lot of people will tell you that will be done away with. Well, if it's done away with, I got a problem because my Mashiach is quoting from the Torah. So for those who go out and report that all of this is going to be done away with, and by the way, the same place that we get honor your mother and father and remember my Shabbat and keep it holy, we get that the same thing. So if that's done away with, I'm trying to figure out why is my Messiah quoting from the Torah. Well, because apparently the Torah at this moment is still relevant, and it's relevant to Yeshua. And he's giving them that concept right there. So he is going to make the mountains flat, and he's going to make the valleys high. He's not going to raise one above the other, and he's not going to lower one below the other. Somewhere between the mountain and the valley is this scribe, is the Shema, is the Torah. And it will be what remains when it's all the opposite. And what this whole Brit Hadashah and this Haftorah is all things wrong being righted. So thank you very much.